You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Packers Talk.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Just MLS games in general, I've had pretty good luck.
They're fun, man.
Saw Didier Drogba score in two different games.
Nice.
I saw a 94th minute winner early this year, like a 3-0 thrashing a few months later. Like,
some good careful, stuff. Dusty. Careful, Dusty.
I got excited about soccer.
Check New York Bozo! New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
I gotta get my biceps a little bigger.
Yeah, you can always work on that.
Oh, I could sure use a hot dog with chili.
You know what time the game starts?
Hey, you got any left-handed footballs? We need to fire him. Is anybody else tired or is it just me? Good thing I'm in shape.
You got any eligibility left?
I got some advice for y'all. Take 2 weeks off, then quit.
What's up, Packers fans? Welcome to another exciting edition of Pack to the Future. I am not John Jameson, as you may have noticed. I am Brian Fonfara. John Jameson is on a very important mission. He's at dinner with his girlfriend for their 1.5 year anniversary.
Aww.
So, I know.
Is that sweet?
Celebrating a half anniversary, though. Make sure you roast him online for that, please. He is at John Jameson. There's no H in John. J-O-N-J-A-M-E-S-O-N.
Yes,
just go roast him mercilessly. That man, he used to give me so much flack for choosing to hang out with my girlfriend, now wife, back in the day, instead of going with him to hookah bars. So he's choosing 1.5 year anniversary over podcasting. So please.
He's all grown up now.
Oh my goodness. All right, so with me, I've got my panel of experts. You can't see, but I did air quotes with experts. I've got Dusty Evely. How you doing, man?
That's hurtful, Brian. I was doing well until the air quote thing, and now like I feel betrayed and hurt. I'm doing good. I'm still a little bit sad about the Colts game and just things, but yeah, I'm doing good. I'm just happy I'm here with you guys.
Well, I had to do the air quotes because I believe you picked the Packers to win.
As I always do. So I've been right 50% of the time this year. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Then
as
again,
coin
so
flip.
Did I.
Yeah.
So the did only our, man so that did not pick the Packers week, to right? win. What's that?
Our guest last week picked the Packers to win by like 20 or something.
That's what happens when our guests pick for the Packers.
That's right. Yeah.
We lose.
That's smart.
Seriously, like our record must be like, it's got to be really low, like a 250 winning percentage at best. Not good. All right. The only guy that did not pick the Packers to win last week because he was not on the show last week, we've got Jordan Peck. How you doing, buddy?
Gentlemen, it's good to be here. And for the record, I would have picked the Packers to win, so I can be lumped in with you guys as the experts on the show.
Although we can give you credit. You were the guy 2 weeks ago to say we were actually going to lose to the Falcons.
I did. I unfortunately picked that game correct.
Yeah, that's true. I wasn't here for that, but I have to admit I would have done the same thing, even though John gave you a lot of crap for picking against the Packers in that game.
It is what it is. Unfortunately, we can win that one, but oh well.
All right.
I'm just too good.
You're too good. Something like that. So we'll have plenty of time to mercilessly mock John Jameson throughout the course of this episode since he's not here and I get to do most of the talking. And I mean, most of his talking is jabs aimed at Jordan. So I think it's time he gets his comeuppance.
Comeuppance.
Yeah.
Great word. Great word.
Cool word, bro.
That's nice.
Yeah. I consulted a thesaurus on that one. For sure.
That's all right. That's just show prep. That's good.
I spent hours hours pouring through the thesaurus.
That's the looking saddest for thing I have ever heard.
Guys, I found it. Comeuppance. I only had to go through three letters.
People love what they're listening to right now, and it's because of those hours spent in the thesaurus looking for comeuppance.
I don't disagree.
All right. Should we end this crap and get to more crap talking about football and what happened on Sunday? I mean, yeesh. Seriously. That was ugly. That was among the more ugly performances of the last year and a half of these Packers struggles, and that's really saying something.
You knew it was going to be bad. I was watching the game here where I live, and CBS didn't get the game on right away. And I'm watching with a couple friends, and a friend said, "Oh, hey man, you probably shouldn't check the score right now." And I'm like, "Why not?" He said, "The Colts just took the opening kickoff for a touchdown." I'm like, "What?" And sure enough, I'm like, "Oh boy, this isn't starting well."
Oh man, yeah, I saw a lot of reports of the station didn't turn from commercials in time, so people getting the coverage beginning after the kickoff and
that's what we got.
Yep.
That's actually the only part of the first quarter that I saw live because I was at the MLS game that I mentioned last week, and it went into overtime, so I turned on I have Verizon, so I turned on the NFL mobile, and that happened, and then I lost reception after that. So that's the only part of the first quarter I saw live. It was, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. I promised we'd get back to football. Let's get back. Let's start talking about football, and let's get to the coin toss segment. We're going to start off with Jordan versus Dusty, and they're going to be talking turnovers. The Packers have really struggled with forcing turnovers on defense. They forced a couple this week. Haha, Clinton Dix with a pair of interceptions early on, and looked like maybe they'd be back. Looked like those would turn the tide of the game. Unfortunately, they did not. So what I want you guys to tell me is whether or not you think the Packers' defense overall has turned a corner, and if they're going to be starting to force a lot more interceptions moving forward, or if that was just a mirage and there's really nothing else happening here. So, Jordan, I am going to flip this coin, and if it is heads, you will tell me that the defense has turned a corner. If it is tails, they have not.
Okay.
And it is tails. You tell me why this defense has not turned a corner in turnovers.
Okay, so the criticism, particularly with this last Colts game, the thing that they absolutely needed to do against that offensive line was to force pressure. And they did not do a good job of that. There were a couple occasions that they actually made it happen. And those were the times where they actually forced the interceptions. For the most part, poor throws by Luck, but we actually did get a little bit of pressure on it. So the question is, can we force that same kind of pressure against the Titans? And I'm a little less optimistic about that. For one, you have the Titans that have a better offensive line than the Colts. It's really hard for a team not to have a better offensive line than the Colts. And second, they have a lot more mobile of a quarterback. Not to mention a pretty good or a lot better decision maker this year than he was last year, Marcus Mariota, that is. So I'm not optimistic that they can keep that pressure up. And if they can't get that pressure on Mariota and keep him in the pocket and force him into some bad throws, get some hits on him, I just don't see it actually happening for this defense. I mean, the throws that Clinton Dix intercepted, I mean, he was in the right place, but they were right in his hands. I mean, he took advantage of his opportunity, so you obviously can't fault him for that. But to assume that this defense has turned a corner and we're going to see more of that, I mean, not saying it won't happen, but the situation doesn't. I'm not too optimistic about it. So it all comes down to getting pressure. So hopefully, you know, you heard post game about Mike Daniels, you know, being pretty ticked off in the locker room afterwards. So hopefully this defensive line, these linebackers play with a chip on their shoulder, get in on Mariota and force some turnovers. But that's a relatively tall task. So we'll see what they can do. But I'm not too optimistic about it.
All right, Dusty, your rebuttal.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know that it's so much that they turned a corner. I mean, we talked about this last week. I think I may have been talking about this most of the season so far. And they've had their hands on a lot of interceptions, and they've just dropped them. And Clinton Dix caught the two this week, which is good. I kind of assumed that we were going to see some regression at some point. Part of the dropped interceptions may have been Clinton Dix dropped a couple, but they've got a lot of young defensive backs. You don't know how they're going to react. But these kinds of things where you have... When you get your hands on a lot of passes, sometimes you're going to drop some, but you'll also go through spurts where you catch quite a few. I just kind of assumed it was going to regress at some point. So, I mean, this is the same, just because they picked off a couple of passes this past week, they're the same defense they have been. They just happen to hold on to them this week. So, I don't necessarily see it as being like a turned a corner. They're the same they've always been. They've held on to them. And I think we're going to see a little bit more of that going forward.
All right, both good points. I like it. But again, this is all about making John angry, so I'm going to give the point to Jordan.
Oh, yes. Oh, man.
Wait, John gave the point to Jordan because he wanted to make you mad a few weeks ago.
I'm just reaping the benefits of this little conflict you guys have. It's fantastic.
Stuck in the middle.
Jordan is essentially Pack to the Future's divorced child.
Has nothing to do with my football knowledge. Yeah, it's great.
I like it.
Hopefully John celebrates his 1 3/4 anniversary here in a couple months.
Oh, man. Oh, I can't wait for John to listen to this. As if he's actually going to. Yeah, he's not going to get any of it.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. A slightly more depressing topic. We're going to talk about the offense. Whether or not it is time to hit the panic button on this offense that has been inconsistent at best. This one is going to be me versus Dusty. Dusty? I'm going to flip a coin. If that coin comes up heads, you are going to tell me why this offense still has hope. And if it is tails, you will tell me why we were hitting the panic button. And it is heads. Why should we still have hope in this offense?
We should still have hope in this offense because they still have the pieces and they're going to be getting some back. I know Cook's been practicing. I think Cook's going to be back this week, and I'm not the biggest Jared Cook fan in the world. In fact, I've disparaged him repeatedly, but he did seem to be finding a groove, if not catching a bunch of passes. He at least was getting some looks and opening some stuff up in the inside just right before he went down. So I think that's going to open some stuff up. And also just... I mean, they haven't been, like, we've kind of been a little spoiled. I mean, we've said that before. We've kind of talked about that. But it's true, we have been. I mean, if you look at, like, points per game, like, we've seen the Packers' offense is like, oh, they're terrible, man. Like, they're awful. Because they're not at the high standard they were. They're 11th in points per game so far this year. I mean, that's good. They're above average in points per game. Like, not a ton, but slightly. You know, that's really, really good. They're at the average for turnovers. I mean, we're halfway through the season. If we just basically take out, if we double Rodgers' stats, if we just say he's going to do exactly what he did in the first half, which we see is not good, he's throwing for over 4,000 yards with 40 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. Like, he's good. And some of this stuff, there's been some untimely drop passes. Janice dropped a big one this past week. Trevor Davis dropped one a few weeks ago. And some of these guys are just younger guys that are coming in and playing just because they kind of have to because of the injuries. Like, these guys are starting to come in. They're going to be fine. Like, and they're fine now. Again, they're decent offense. There's not to what we thought. They're in looking at Football Outsiders offensive DVOA. They have been above average in all but two games offensively this year, the Minnesota game and the Dallas game, and some of them just slightly. But still, like, this is a good offense, if not quite where they were. And I still think they have some of that greatness in them. Rodgers has shown flashes. He's obviously not done. He's not cooked. Some of those deep balls may be floating a little bit, but I still think they're going to be fine. And again, they're decent offense now. They're not where they were, but I think they're good. And I fully expect them to improve as the season goes on. But again, like, they don't even have to improve that much. They can be a top 10 without a whole lot of work, and I think they're going to get there.
I would counter. I will give you that Aaron Rodgers has been a lot better than given credit for. Like, go look at his stat line, and it's still really good. You know, something that 25 to 28 teams would still die for out of their quarterback, and we're sitting here complaining about it. So I will concede that point. But here's 2 points I won't concede. One, you mentioned some of the things that happened that made us look bad on Sunday. You know, things like drop passes, Jeff Janis especially, his deep ball that just landed right in his hands. What you described that happened on Sunday was nothing that's uncharacteristic of this offense. So, like, none of that makes me feel as though last week's game was just a one-off. And it's the same things that we've been seeing. The other thing that really, really worries me is Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers' relationship. And they're, I think if you look at their post-game interviews, then they're just clearly not on the same page. Aaron Rodgers comes out and says there was a problem with the energy, there was a problem with the effort, it wasn't good enough, we need to try harder, we need to do better every play, finish every play. And then, what, half an hour later, Mike McCarthy comes out and says, I think the energy levels were good. The next day, he reiterates it when he actually watched the film. The energy levels were good. These two are not on the same page. And you see it with the frustration in their face every drive that doesn't go well. And sometimes that goes away when we put together a good quarter or a good half. It happens. But then, sure enough, those faces, those looks, those feelings come back every single time. And we've played 8 games so far. That's 32 quarters. I'd say maybe 8, 9, 10, if we're lucky, of those quarters, we've looked really good on offense the way that we should. That's a really low percentage for a team that has Aaron Rodgers at quarterback and putting up the pretty damn good stats that he's put up. So those reasons right there make me hit the panic button.
I've got a legitimate question. I don't want to derail us too much, but I do have a question. So you talk about the frustration on faces when games don't go well or drives go well. People talk quite a bit about athletes if they don't. That was the big thing on JD Drew, I know, was like, well, he strikes out and he doesn't look like he cares. Like, shouldn't they look frustrated when it's not going well? Like, if Rodgers walked off the field and McCarthy was just standing there and just said, like, they kind of looked at each other and kind of shrugged their shoulders and kind of had a blank face, like, that'd probably make people a lot of mad. Like, it's, you see that, and I think there's a competitive nature there. And I don't want to derail us too much, but I kind of wonder, in a situation where they're clearly frustrated, what are they supposed to do to try to project? Like, what if their relationship's fine and we're reading into this frustration thing?
My problem isn't the fact that they're frustrated with it. I think that is the correct response, as opposed to like a Jay Cutler who will throw 4 picks in a row and just stand there as if somebody took his cigarettes. That's different. My problem is how often they are forced to make these faces. Like, it's good that they're frustrated when things don't go well, but they're having to make these faces way too often. That's my problem. Okay. And things don't seem to be getting better. And it really doesn't matter how often they're frustrated.
Okay.
That's more my issue.
So to pick a winner between you two, I actually, going to Dusty's point, when you talk about having the pieces, obviously we have the pieces to be a very good offense. I mean, we have, again, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. That should be, you should be able to put any group of receivers together and be more effective than not. And that hasn't been the case right now. I tend to agree, actually, with Brian, really, with the coaching issue. That's my issue with the team. I mean, yes, frustration. I mean, yeah, if you're playing bad, you should be frustrated. But frustration after that, you should have some adapting to what's going on. And it seems to be, particularly you had the Falcons game, offense played good, and then you go to the Colts game, and they went back to the same stuff they were doing in the Bears game and other games. That's a concern for me. So for that, the concern with the coaching relationship, I'm going to go with Brian for this coin toss. Brian, you're the winner.
Gores.
Great debate, though. That was fun to listen to. That was good.
That felt good. All right. We've got one more coin toss contest for you, and it is pitting me against the man, the myth, the beard, Jordan Peck.
Mm.
All right. We're going to be talking, this is looking forward a little bit, but kind of based off of recent trends. So the Green Bay Packers have a pretty good run defense that has been well documented. We have one giant blip on the radar, though, being the game against the Dallas Cowboys, where we just got absolutely torched by Ezekiel Elliott. Everyone else we've been able to handle pretty well. Some decent running backs in there. Had a little bit of trouble with Frank Gore on Sunday, but this week we're going against the number two running back in the league, and DeMarco Murray has had a renaissance here after not playing for Chip Kelly anymore. Man, he really tried hard to ruin his career. So what we're going to debate is confidence levels going into this week's game, and do you feel that the run defense can stop this good of a run rush attack, or are we just going to be victims again like we were against the Cowboys? So, Jordan, I'm going to flip this coin. If it is heads, you're feeling good. If it's tails, you are down in the dumps. And it is tails. You are feeling down in the dumps.
Down the dumps, I feel. Okay. So, yes, I mean, kind of to reiterate what you're talking about here with DeMarco Murray, obviously having a very good season, more reminiscent of his I think, league-leading year he had with the Cowboys a couple years back. The rush defense that the Packers have is good. I mean, no question that they're good. They have a good defensive line that's done very well. They started out the year on a historic level, and they've kind of regressed a little bit, but they're still very good. But what we've seen here, you know, you go back to the Ezekiel Elliott game, you know, I think I kind of attribute that more to the Cowboys than I do really the Packers rush defense. But over the past few games, like back to even the Falcons game, you know, they didn't have one of their running backs for that game. And then really the Colts game with Frank Gore. I mean, Frank Gore was eating them up. I mean, Frank Gore is an old running back. That is not a guy you should be letting have effective rushes against your team. So the trend right now for the Packers is not good. It's something that needs to be taken care of. Now, I think they have the personality on that line. I mentioned Mike Daniels again to get that corrected and have a good game. But this is a good running back. Not to mention, I mean, you have Murray playing well. You also have Derrick Henry playing well, and you have a mobile quarterback that's probably going to cause the Packers some issues and pick up some first downs. So I'm not too optimistic about us defending the run game that well. I don't think that their rushing attack is good enough to just beat us on its own. I don't think they're good enough to do that. But I think they're good enough to be effective to make it a good game. So that's where I'm at. I think the kind of the trend of kind of backing off our the way we started off the season is going to continue. But anyway, yes, I didn't really finish that so well, but that's my opinion on our rush defense right now.
I hope the judges will remember that ending.
I'm barely paying attention, so no.
Oh, that's good to know. All right, so I can just phone this one in. That's
absolutely
good. All right, well, here's why I'm not worried, and Jordan even touched on it. Reason number one, probably reason number one through five, is Mike Daniels. The fact that you could hear him shouting from the showers while other players were giving post-game interviews on Sunday just signals how frustrated he is with the effort that was given. You saw him penetrate the line as normal throughout that game. Just really struggled with getting home, but Dom Capers, I promise you, like, he's watching a lot of film on the Titans this week, but I'd be willing to bet he's also watching a lot of Ezekiel Elliott film and seeing what went wrong that week, and he's looking to correct it. I think they're going to sell out to make sure that the run is at least marginally disrupted. I don't know if he'll go so far as to completely stop this top-notch rushing attack, but I have a lot of confidence that it will not be the same thing that we saw against Dallas, because Dallas also had a passing game that looked really good. Marcus Mariota, apparently he's looked really good. I think it was, if you break it down by win losses, in their wins he's got a 133 QB rating, and in their losses it's down around 70. I think if we sell out, we're going to try to stop the run, we're going to slow that down, and if we force the ball into his hands, that's what Dom Capers is going to be looking to do. It's make the young quarterback make the throws. I think we'll probably see quite a bit of yardage for Mariota rushing, but it's kind of hard to count that as rushing stats. Like, I'm kind of thinking more of DeMarco Murray and Henry. I feel confident that we can at least keep them at or under 100 yards.
All right, as the judge, both of you voted against me, so no one wins. Just go go cry about it. Brian cited QB rating stats, and I love when people talk stats, so I'm gonna give it to Brian. I'm sorry, Jordan.
Yes. I believe the debate was about running backs, and you're mentioning how QB accurate. Rating stats.
I tied it in there, baby.
Okay.
Don't you worry about that.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
I mean, traditionally, too, kind of to roll up into that, traditionally, teams with running quarterbacks do fare well against, do fare better with their running games as well. But and one of the things, too, kind of want to add, because I have to get a word in here, you're talking about the difference between the Cowboys game and the Titans game. Cowboys, I think, had one of the top-rated play-action offenses in the league, and the Titans are, like, 16th. They're actually worse on play-action than they are against other ones. So if they do force it into Mariota's hands, as they hope to, and they go play-action, we're not going to see them be as successful as they were against Dallas. So that's something to keep in mind. So
wonderful.
That's nice.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Agreed.
All right, before we move on to next week, I'm going to pass the mic over to Jordan Peck, who's going to tell you all about our wonderful sponsor, Pride and Glory Clothing. Go for it, Jordan.
PrideandGloryClothing.com, guys. We talk about it every week. As the weather's getting a little colder, you know, you're looking, you're like, well, I've been wearing this same Packers hoodie for forever. I'm looking for something fresh. Well, Pride and Glory Clothing Company's got something fresh for you. So really, you should check out their website, PrideandGlory63.com. A lot of good options for hoodies, t-shirts, stuff for the ladies as well. So check out PrideandGlory63.com.
Check New York, Bozo!
All right, I am joined by August West, Tennessee Titans blogger at SB Nation, Music City Miracles. August, how are you doing tonight?
Man, I'm doing very well. How's everything going up in Wisconsin?
Can't complain too much. Actually, I'm actually talking to you from Virginia. All of us on this podcast are all over the country.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah, we got one of us in Wisconsin. We got one in Colorado. One in Kentucky, and I'm here in Virginia, so we're all over the country.
Yeah, I'm sure you'd agree, and as we are, as podcasters for an NFL team, you're kind of the voice for the out of market fans.
That's right. Fantastic. All right. Well, hey, let's get right into this. Start talking about the game on Sunday. Want to dive into talking about the Titans offense, in particular, DeMarco Murray, your running back. He's been having a good season, a resurgence season, really. It's been a couple of years since he's been reasonably productive. So do you see him having a good game? Do you see him being able to deal with the Packers' rush defense, who is performing the best in the league right now?
You know, the Titans' rushing attack has really been centered around DeMarco Murray, but we've also gotten a pretty good input, especially over the past few weeks, from Derrick Henry. But it all starts with the offensive line. And the kind of crazy thing is, you know, this has been a horrible offensive line for the past couple of years. They completely revamped it with some young guys, a couple of veterans that are in there. And then we've seen both of the guards go down and end up on the IR, but they haven't really seemed to miss a beat. You know, they've shown an ability to run against teams, even when they stack 8-9 in the box, over the course of the season so far. So I think they'll be able to run the ball. The question is if, you know, the Titans effectively running the ball for the way they need to do it is like 5-plus yards a carry. Mm-hmm. Now, for most teams, that would be an exceptional game. That's what the Titans really kind of need to win. So the Titans can run the ball effectively, you know, like, you know, 4.2 yards a carry, and you can really limit our offense. So I guess I'm rambling on because it's a little bit of a tough question. The Titans really need to run the ball more than they throw it. That's when they're at their best. Even when they get behind, they can't abandon the run. If you can force the Titans and Rubitsky and Malarkey to abandon the run, then you've put us in a pretty tough situation.
Very good. Yeah, I gotta agree. Yeah, with particularly you mentioned even Derrick Henry too. I mean, it's really kind of a two-headed attack. It's headed by Murray, but I mean, you got two good running backs there. Packers are going to have a tough time. I agree with that. Kind of switching gears over to your defense, and really what I want to know is what is the main strength of this Titans defense, and how do you see them using that in order to slow down the Packers offense?
the main strength for this defense, really, with Dick LeBeau and the way they put it together, is the front seven completely. I mean, you know, you have nice players like Jason McCourty, and, you know, some of the other guys that have filled in at safety have been pretty solid. Paris Cox has been up and down. He's kind of a boomer bust guy. He's been a little bit better this year, but it's all about Garrett Morgan, Brian Arakpo, Jarrell Casey, you know, Antonio or Angelo Blackson, Al Woods, those guys, you know, how much you can stop them and slow them down. If you can give Aaron Rodgers, if he can create time for himself, or if he can, feel comfortable in a pocket and get rolling against this secondary, then it's going to be a bad day for the Titans. If they could get in there, harass him, move him off the spot, and not let things happen on schedule, then our secondary has a chance to catch up. But it's all about that front seven.
I like it. I'd have to agree. I mean, that's usually when we talk to other guys about facing the Packers, it always seems to center in on, you know, making Aaron Rodgers uncomfortable out there. And if that happens, it's usually good news for the other team, particularly these past couple of seasons.
Well, now, you know, I'll just add on to that. The key to beating the Titans so far doesn't have as much to do with the defense. The defense has been consistently good every single week. The mm-hmm. biggest thing is if your defense can score points on defense. You know, we've had three games, I think, where the offense or special teams has given up 14 points without the defense having, a say in it at all. Right. That's pretty crucial. So if you could do that and then control the ball a little bit, then we're kind of at your mercy. However, if the Titans are able to execute and protect the ball on offense, then, yeah, I think we can upset some teams. We have so far for a team that drafted first last year. We're certainly not going to draft first this year unless it's that Rams pick.
That's right. That's right. So looking at this game, we've talked offense, we've talked defense. What is the one thing, if there's one thing the Titans have to do to pull off a victory, what do you think that is?
I think the Titans have to get Kendall Wright involved in the game plan. Delanie Walker is probably the most underrated player in the entire NFL right now. What he does blocking, what he does as a pass catcher. Paul Kaharski, who's the guy who covers the Titans beat for ESPN, had a great article last week. About the difference between just when Delanie Walker's on the field, even if he's not the epicenter of the play that's going on, Marcus Mariota's passer rating goes up by 80 points. The rushing average goes up by at least a yard and a half to 2.5 yards a carry. It's pretty crazy. But if Delanie Walker is the main focus of everything, we're not going to be as effective. So it's going to be about Rashard Johnson. It's going to be about Kendall Wright. It's going to be about that wide receiver. You're getting in a rhythm, and Marcus feeling comfortable.
Yeah, you're definitely going up against a banged-up Packers secondary. And the Packers, you know, they've been gashed by tight ends in the past. I mean, I'm blanking on his name, but a tight end for the Falcons. I mean, had a great game against us a couple weeks ago. So if that middle of the field is open.
You don't have to worry about that. The Titans got slashed by C.J. Fedorowicz. We had... I've been saying for 2 years now, if you play daily fantasy sports, if you play like, you know, FanDuel, any of those acts, just pick the tight end that is going against us and you will win. You'll at least have an advantage over everybody else. So I'm sorry. I'm crying crocodile tears for your struggles against other tight ends.
So you're telling me I should be picking up Richard Rodgers for my daily fantasy team?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Pick up his dad, pick up his brother, pick up his mother, whoever, whoever.
We'll do. All right, man. So if we score prediction for this game, how do you see this game playing out?
Oh, man. If you'd asked me before that San Diego game, I might have had a little different response. That was a setback, and now we've got DeMarco's got a toe injury. Henry's got a calf injury. Other guys are – the injuries are starting to kind of bubble up for us, and I think they're really looking at the bye week being in 2 weeks. So – I'm hopeful that we can keep it low and it's a 24-21 sort of game. The Titans are never going to blow anybody out. It's going to be a close game at best.
So you're taking Titans to win?
Just because I'm the most homerish homer guy ever.
Hey, no, it's last week we had a guy on for the Colts. He picked the Packers to win and we ended up losing. So believe me, I'm very happy with your prediction right now.
Okay. That's awesome.
Fantastic. All right. August, where can people find your work online and where can they connect with you on social media?
Well, we are at MusicCityMiracles.com. It's the SB Nation blog. We're the official podcast. It's NCM Radio. Jimmy Morris and I, you know, kind of started things out with MusicCityMiracles.com. He handles much more of the website. I kind of exclusively do the podcast now. We do an episode, a midweek episode, and a weekend reaction, kind of live reaction afterwards. So I'm at AugustWest_NCM. You can find us on Facebook. And just MusicCityMiracles.com. If you want to read anything about the Titans, we got it.
Fantastic stuff, man. August, we appreciate you joining us, and I can't say I wish you luck for your team, but have a good weekend watching football.
Hey, let's just hope for a good game. Everybody wants to see a good game.
There you go, man. Appreciate it, bud.
Thank you.
Take New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
All right, let's move on to the game to come. We've got the Titans on Sunday. Guys, let's break this down. And I say guys, but I guess I'll start, as I normally do, with my keys to victory, what I think the Packers need to do to win on Sunday. And we've already talked about some of these, but I'm going to start with scoring early. You saw what that did to the Packers when the Colts scored early on Sunday. It just totally threw off the game plan. Everything changed from there. That's kind of what we need to do. Their strength is in running the ball. And if they're not able to do that because we take an early 7 or 10 point lead, then that forces them to start throwing things. And Marcus Mariota is a good quarterback when he's able to feed off of the running game. And if we don't allow him to do that, then he'll have more of that 70 passer rating as opposed to the 133. If he's able to just throw whenever he feels like it instead, that's when we'll be in trouble. So we got to score early. My problem is I don't have a whole lot of faith right now that can happen. I thought, if anything, last week was going to be the week we would establish our dominance early against a really vulnerable defense, but that did not happen, and we really never got into a groove. So I'm going to switch it back over to the defense that's kind of been relied upon more than I feel comfortable with this year. They've got to be the ones to stop the run if we don't score early. They have to slow down the DeMarco Murray and Henry trains. They have to find a way to maintain their gap integrity. They have to seal the edges. Everything in this game rides on our ability to at least slow down the run. We're not going to get a win if we allow them to run for 150, 175 yards, which I'm terrified that could actually happen. Only thing that makes me feel better, I was also very petrified of what Julio Jones was going to do to us a couple weeks ago, and he really didn't do anything. I know we still lost that game, but you just never know what's going to happen. And my last point is to play with some freaking energy. Mike McCarthy, I don't know what film you were watching. I don't know if you watched us play the Colts in a preseason game or a game from 8 years ago, but the energy levels were not okay in Sunday's game, and many players alluded to that. I don't know if this points to a complete disconnect between Mike McCarthy and his players or what, but the energy levels have to be better. I hope that McCarthy was just being politically correct when he was speaking in his press conference. I worry that he wasn't, but I hope that he was. And if so, I think we'll see a lot higher energy levels. Really need that. We really have to bring it this week. So those are my three keys. My prediction, man, it really is tough given how we've played lately, but I think we will eke this one out. Dom Capers tends to do really well against young quarterbacks, so I'm going to say we eke this one out 2017 Packers. Get a huge, huge road win. Dusty, I want you to give me some stats, baby.
Yeah, I mean, so you talked about lots of things. But kind of the Titans defense, you glossed over a little bit. I'm gonna break, just go into that a little bit more. They don't have a great defense, but it's a little misleading. Per Football Outsiders, they've got the 26th ranked defense in the league, which, I mean, if you know how many teams are in the league, you know that's not good. But they actually have a pretty good running defense. Not great, but they're 12th in the league. Their passing defense is 27th. So hopefully the Packers will be able to pass early, pass often, as we saw a couple weeks ago. Then we saw the Packers last week kind of settle into, they ran with Ty Montgomery a little bit, too many with Don Jackson on like second and long, which I hope we don't see. So I'm hoping this sees after the kind of attempt at a more balanced attack last week kind of led, kind of dragged him down a little bit. I'm hoping we see some more of the pass happy stuff because that can work against this Titans defense. In fact, it should be able to work. So I'm looking at that. One of the other things, you talked about how often they run, the Titans run, and they do a lot. In fact, of say looking at three downs, the only down they pass more often than they run is first down, when they pass like 51% of the time. So just barely.
Oh my gosh.
Like, wow, that's insane. That's insane. And so you have to be ready for that. And I didn't have time to drag up down and distance stats. But I kind of assume, say if they're passing 51% of the time on first down, that probably puts them in some second and long. And so they're probably, you know, running, and they're decent at running up the middle. But the Packers are very good at stopping up the middle. I think they average, Titans average around 4 yards a carry, I believe, up the middle. But the Packers allow like a little over 2 yards up the middle. So they're going to have to be ready for that. They're going to be running on second down, and the Packers are going to have to shut that down. And as we discussed earlier, if they can shut down the running game, put the ball in Marcus Mariota's hands, he will turn the ball over. 7 interceptions on the year. I believe the Titans as a whole have 13 on the year. And so to me, that's the key. Second down is going to be the key. The Titans are going to run. The Packers are going to need to stop it. They're going to need to put the ball in Mariota's hands. Part of that is scoring early, making them play catch up. And that's exactly what the Packers are going to need to do to win this. I see Packers winning with, if they go pass happy, as I predict they will, and then get up high, the Titans aren't going to be able to keep up. I'm going to go Packers 31-21.
All right. I like it. Jordan, what's going on in Twitter world today?
All right. We got one question. It's actually from The Sweep at Pack to the Future. So our other podcast on the website sends us this question. Mariota is the first true running quarterback that we face this season, since Dak Prescott only ran once. How do we fare with Shake and Bake, a.k.a. Jake Ryan and Blake Martinez, Jake and Blake? All right. I'll answer this, and I'll let you guys have your response to this as well. My biggest concern with having a running quarterback, I don't anticipate Mariota going and rushing for 150 yards on us like we allowed Kaepernick to do in the playoffs against us a few years ago. But my concern with that is those mid-range third downs, you know, third and five, third and six, the obvious passing downs and him scrambling for first downs. That's what we can't let happen. We got to be able to get off the field on those down and distances. So I'm a little concerned that that's going to be an issue for us. So it's kind of, I think the strategy is going to have to be try to keep him in the pocket, you know, make him throw the ball. If he throws for first downs, he throws for first downs. But to let him get outside the pocket and actually pick up some first downs with his feet, that's going to be demoralizing to the defense. You know, give them more opportunities to make some plays with their running back. So that's what needs to happen. So with your talk about Jake Ryan and Blake Martinez, they just need to play disciplined. If they're playing that zone kind of in front of the line, they just need to be able to see that, not bite on any play actions, you know, be ready for that. And they just got to play smart. Blake's got to play not like a rookie this week. Jake Ryan needs to kind of keep doing what he's been doing. He's had a good start to the season. So, That's my concern with Mariota as a running quarterback. I don't see him dominating the game, but he also has a very good chance of impacting the game in a bad way for the Packers. So that's my thoughts. I don't know what you guys have on that.
Well, here's why I'm really not too concerned. As I said, we're probably going to be selling out to make sure that we stop the run. That means 7 guys in the box, 8 guys in the box, whatever it takes to make sure that we're not getting burned for 150 yards by DeMarco Murray. Now, that being the case, plus the fact that they're really not very good at the play action, we're going to have guys around. We're going to have those edges sealed. Yeah, he'll probably bust off a couple first downs with his feet, but overall, I don't see it as that big of a concern because our focus is going to be, Mariota, you got to beat us with your arm. You got to prove to us that you can do that and go deep before we're going to ever respect that. So there's going to be guys close to the line all the time ready to stop him. Any thoughts, Dusty?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much what you guys said. I mean, if we want to take it back to Kaepernick, I mean, we've got some guys. The guys we have now, we don't have Eric Walden anymore, which is nice for many reasons. I mean, this is one of them.
And although we did just lose to him.
We prefer not to that, but you think he got picked up a sack too. Like, that made me sad. But like, what I've seen the Packers do a lot of this year, when they got burned against Kaepernick, and when they apparently, when Dom Capers thought the read option was witchcraft, it was a whole lot of man coverage. And so even when it wasn't read option, say running quarterback, drop back to pass, man coverage, back is turned, guy breaks the pocket, and he's 20 yards downfield before anyone sees him. What I've seen a lot of this year, so far, to kind of help out the younger corners that they've had, have been, say, man-to-man coverage on the outside with maybe some safety help, and then a lot of zone in the middle with the linebackers. And that's, you know, Jake Ryan, Blake Martinez, and Joe Thomas as well. And Joe Thomas has been very good this year. So with that zone, that's harder to break off big runs because you got guys facing the line as opposed to backs facing the line. Now, they don't do it all the time, but they are doing it a little more to kind of help out their guys. So I do think Mariota, like Brian's, like you guys said, like Mariota may break off a couple runs for first downs. I don't think he's going to break off anything big. And because they are going to have guys in the box, I think they'll be fine. Like, Mariota's running more this year than he has last year. I think he had 34 runs through 12 games last year, and through 9 games this year, he has 35. So he is running a little more, but I think the Packers know that. And like Brian said, they're going to sell out to stop the run, and I think they'll be fine.
Fantastic. Fantastic. To give a score prediction for this game, I see the offense playing a little better. I don't see them being lights out. I think it's going to still be a struggle at times. I don't think they play a full 60 minutes just because, well, they haven't played a full 60 minutes yet on offense. So I'm going to go. I think it's going to be tight road game. I mean, Titans. It's a bad division, so Titans are still, you know, technically in it. So they got something to play for. I'm going to go 28-27. Packers. Tight one.
Lovely. All right. Well, we need this. If we're going to stay in this division race, which is just razor thin right now, which is the way I like it, to be honest. Like, I don't want somebody running away with it. This makes December football a whole lot more fun to watch. So, but yeah, Aaron Rodgers said today that he does not like the phrase must win. He referred to World War II being a must win. So, to put that in perspective a little bit. But not, I mean, wrong. As much as a game of football can be a must-win, this is a must-win for the Green Bay Packers. They got to take care of business.
I'll be completely honest. Like, I understand what he meant. I thought it was a strange quote.
Aaron Rodgers is full of strange quotes, yeah, though, let's be honest. All right, Jordan, any final thoughts?
Oh, not really.
All right.
Yeah. This is always the segment I prepare for the absolute least. So I will say one thing I'd like to see from the Packers that they kind of gave up on in the last game. I'd like to see more stuff with Ty Montgomery in the backfield, even taking runs. I was a bit of a critic of him being back there, but you can't really criticize the production that we've gotten from him when he's back there. When he's more a focal point of our offense, it usually works out well for us. Not that he has to be running the ball, but, you know, even a couple of screenplays or something, get creative with him. That's what I'd like to see. Get the creativity level up. That's what I'm hoping to see from our offense this week.
He weighs a lot more than he looks like too.
He's like 225, 230, yeah, something like that. He's a stout fella.
Yeah, he looks like he's a lot less than that. So he looks like a guy that can kind of take a beating, and with some practice at the running back position, that could be a huge
Packers'
change.
First play from scrimmage this past week was just like a single power running play that he just kind of went through the line, Ripkowski lead block that he fit through a tight space and then made a move in the open field that went for 24 yards. I mean, that's a running back play right there.
Yeah. And if he starts to do that on a more regular basis throughout the year, you will not see Eddie Lacy in green and gold next year because they'll be running with Ty Montgomery.
I believe I'm as big a Ty Montgomery fan as you'll find. I think the only reason he won't put up numbers this year is if like they kill him by running him too much. Cause he does seem to be injury prone, but like he'll put up numbers as long as he's healthy. I'm a big fan of that guy.
I mean, based on the past couple of weeks, I don't think overuse is going to be an issue. I mean, if anything, last week he was definitely underused. So,
yeah, coming back from injury though, that's to be expected. I think we'll see a lot more of him this week.
Yeah, that's right.
Jordan, where can we find you on Twitter?
You guys can find me on Twitter at JGPeck41.
JGPeck41. Mm-hmm. Dusty, final thoughts.
I've got three, and two of them are football related.
This will take a while.
Non-football in the middle. I'm taking up for Jordan. Okay,
thank you.
First one is something that I'm just a huge fan of every week now, as I look at the cheapest tickets for the next week's game that you can find.
Love
which
this.
Sometimes really, really good, and sometimes are just terrible. I can't remember what last week's was, but one week was like Cleveland Jets, and it was just awful. So this week, man, this is the Houston, the Houston Texans with Brian's boy, Edward Cullen, a quarterback, and going into Jacksonville to face fourth quarter Bortles there. You guys, so it's in Jacksonville, Houston and Jacksonville. You guys want to take a guess as to how much you think these tickets cost? Cheapest ticket for that game.
$18.
I'll go a little higher. I'll say 33.
Brian wins. It's 25. For $25, you can go to Jacksonville. You can watch what is going to be just a horrendous game. I am just over the moon about it. So, throw it on $25. Go to Jacksonville. That's where Ash Williams was at the beginning of this season of Ash vs. Evil Dead. It looks like a great place. So, you do that. Number two. I don't know if you guys have seen the movie The Babadook. Came out a few years ago. Dynamite. Well, they had this book in there. It was this pop-up book, this creepy pop-up book that essentially summoned the monster into their house. They did a Kickstarter for it 2 years ago. Handcrafted. I finally got mine. They made 2,000 of them. Mine came in the mail today, and it's bonkers awesome. Like, just... My wife was looking through it, and I think she thinks the house is haunted now. Like, it's creepy and spooky, and it's just amazing, and it's everything I wanted. It's the creepiest pop-up book I've ever seen in my life, and I'm madly in love with it. So I'm really, really excited about that. And number three, football. Very, very excited about this. 95% chance that I will be in Nashville this week to catch the Packers-Titans game in person.
We're
looking at tickets right now. We've not pulled the trigger yet, but me and a couple brothers and a friend of ours are looking forward. About a four-hour drive from here, so we're...
It's not bad.
I'm really hoping the Packers win this. Looks like we'll be in the stadium. So that's Packers games are always fun to go to. We don't get a whole lot in this area. So I'm very, very excited. So that's awesome. So if anyone's going down there, just hit me up. Let me know what the good stuff is. We'll just be there for game day. But look for something to eat. You know, I get hungry. Nice. I'm a big fella. I like to eat. and you can find me on Twitter at Dusty Evely.
Now I will actually be in Boston during this game. So I have to give a shout out here to Austin Ike. That is at @EICH_AJ. Awesome guy on Twitter. So check him out if you're not following him. Good guy gave me a recommendation on a bar to go to. So I guess I'm going to the Cask and Flagon near nice. Fenway Park. So I'm excited about that.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped. Pumped to finally see Boston for the first time. And catch a game in a nice, sounds like a pretty solid bar. I'm pumped. Nice. Also, again, I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but being at that MLS game that I mentioned last week, the playoff game went all the way to penalties. Penalties happened on our end. I know that everybody listening has heard of Tim Howard, the goalkeeper for the U.S. men's national team.
Yes.
So the penalties ended 3-1. And one of them went over, but then he saved the next two right in a row. And he's just a man. And that was a joy to watch. All right. My last and final thought is I'm so freaking pumped about packtothefuture.com. It has gotten so many more clicks than I ever thought possible for us being less than a month in. I can't thank you guys enough for clicking on our stuff and reading our articles. We work really hard on them, and I'm glad there's people enjoying them. It's humbling to have as many viewers as we've had, and I'm so pumped about it, so thank you. And yeah, make sure one of the things you're clicking on is the other podcast on our site, The Sweep, which was mentioned. He was our Twitter question. That's Fred Thurston and Blaine Horns. Good guys. They've really been catching a stride on their show lately, so make sure to give them a listen. You can find me on Twitter at @PTTF_Brian, and you can find us as a collective group on Twitter at @PTTF_podcast. That's all we got for you today. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.